Good morning. Good morning, everyone. The Lord be with you. As we gather back in our sacred pews, our text today comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. And I'm using the New Revised Standard Version. It will be on the screen. I invite you, if you have your own Bible, to use that. If not, there's one in the pews. Jesus has been preaching and teaching in the countryside. He's fed 5,000. He has taken James and John and Peter up onto the mountain of transfiguration. He's been telling his followers that he's setting his face toward Jerusalem for one last time. He has cured in chapter 9 a boy of demon possession. And just prior to this particular passage, they have passed through a town that did not want them. And here we read from the text, Luke 10, starting at verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person, but if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you, if you will, to pray with me, please. Lord of the harvest, Lord of the grain, and Lord of the people, come right now in this place and fill us with your presence. Speak to us in ways that we can hear and in ways that will challenge us to leave this place and be your laborers in the field. Help us, O God, to not be the same as when we came in. Help us to hear your clarion call to be your people among the world, your people of peace and grace and love. Speak, Lord. Speak, our Lord, for we long to hear your voice. Amen. Our topic today is our presence changes things. In the around 1995, there was an experiment in Yellowstone National Park, and they began to study a principle called trophic cascade. Trophic cascade is where a change in the top level of the food chain makes changes in the ecosystem. And they noticed in the Yellowstone National Park that there were no longer any wolves. So they introduced a small number of wolves into the park and began to study what was happening. Interesting things began to happen in the park. What they noticed, first of all, was that the deer, or prior to this, what they noticed was that the deer had begun to forage all the grasslands, particularly all the way out to the riverbanks, making the riverbanks soft, because they had eaten all the grass. And once they introduced the wolves, not only do the wolves kind of thin out the overpopulated deer population, but the deer began to no longer be seen in these open areas. They changed their patterns of behavior and began to migrate different places. Well, when the deer stopped eating all the grass, then trees began to grow up. And actually, in 6 years' time, the tree population quadrupled, and the soil became more firm. Well, when that happened, then species who lived in trees began to show up and became more plentiful. Songbirds returned to the Yellowstone National Park, and bears and otters and beavers and rabbits and all these populations became affected because a small population of wolves had been introduced into the park. And another funny thing began to happen. When they realized that beavers began to build dams, pools began to form, fish populations began to increase as well. And then a funny thing happened in just over a decade. There were changes to the rivers. The riverbanks became more firm, so the rivers began to meander less, and they became stable. So the physical geography of the Yellowstone National Park were affected by a small population of wolves. So not only were the animal species and populations affected, but the physical geography of the park had been affected by the wolves. Isn't that amazing? This simple change of a top-level food chain animal had affected the physical nature of the Yellowstone National Park. I thought about that as I read this passage in the Gospel of Luke and began to stir my mind, should not our presence change things in our community? Should not the presence of a band of believers change our communities in profound ways? And I wondered, is that what Christ was getting at when he sent these folks out? We read in the first verse, after this, after having gone through this town in Samaria, after feeding folks, after this moment on the Mount of Transfiguration, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, and in some translations it's 72, and sent them ahead of him. He was going to be going to these towns anyway, so he sent this advance party out into these towns in pairs. Jesus never sends us out by ourselves. We are sent out in pairs with other believers, for the life of faith requires that we be together. We're never in isolation. Into every town and place where he himself intended to go. He sent them out to announce something is coming. He is coming. He sent them out to spread the news, the good news, that he was coming, to proclaim what they had seen and witnessed, to share with them what all they had observed and what had happened to them, to say, there is another way. There is the Christ who's on the way here. Their mere presence in these towns had to stir up conversation, don't you think? Their mere presence of going had to create a change. And then we read, whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. So not only were they going, their presence was there, they had an effect when they got there. They said peace or shalom to this house. Their presence brought peace to this house, and their peace would settle there. Is that not amazing? It made me wonder, when we show up, do we bring peace? Or do we contribute to the drama of the situation? When we show up, do we bring peace or do we continue the gossip that's going on? You know, as followers of the Prince of Peace, we should be bringing that peace with us. In our world, there's enough hate and violence. Is that not right? In our world, there's enough strife. There's enough confusion. There's enough not knowing how to respond. And we are followers of the Prince of Peace, should ourselves be peacemakers. For Jesus said in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit. We should be those agents of peace as we move from circle to circle and circle, as we move from home to office to school to shopping center. We should have that peace that goes with us, that peace that abides still. So one of the ways in which we can change our environment is to have the peace of Christ, the peace that no one can take from us. It says in verse 8 and 9, whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. In other words, be content to be with people in their situations. Don't be judgmental. Be with them in their situations. Accept their hospitality. Learn to be with them in their suffering and in their joy. Learn to be a part of that community. Enter it with humility and service, so that you can understand their perspective. That is Christ-like. If you remember, he sat at a well one day and waited at midday for the woman to come and engaged her in conversation so that he might develop a relationship that would lead to her healing and wholeness. That's the example we're supposed to live by. We're supposed to come and meet people where they are, not to judge their circumstance, but to truly become one with them, so that we may bring to them the grace that Christ has shared with us. And he says, cure the sick, to announce to them that wholeness through the power of the Spirit has come, to say to them that healing is possible through the love of God. Cure the sick. Work for ways of healing a body, mind, and spirit. Work for ways in which relationships can be life-giving and not death-dealing. Work for ways in which all people can have access to good health care. Work for ways in which sickness can be no more. And he says to say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. This kingdom of God is a place in which all people are seen as children of God, not just some, where all people have their dignity restored, where all people are valued, where all people are seen, where all people are welcomed at the table of the Lord. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we should be announcing, is that because Christ came and because Christ died, the kingdom of God is here, not just sometime in the future. As followers of Christ, we are called to announce that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is here and now, as well as in the eschaton. The kingdom of God has come because Christ has come, and that we are working to build that kingdom just as Christ prayed, let it be in heaven as well as on earth, just as we're going to pray in a moment when we come to the table. That is our charge. That is what Christ expects of us. That's how our presence can mean something. So I have a couple of questions for you to ponder. How are your circles of influence changed because you are a follower of Christ? How does your presence change your family, your school, your work, where you shop, where you play? How are they changed because you are a follower of the living Christ? Do you stand up for people when they're bullied? Do you stand up for the child who is left out? Do you stand up for what is right because you are a follower of Jesus Christ? How do people know, without you saying a word, that you are a follower of Christ? Our presence should change things without us even saying a single word. And our second question, how is our neighborhood changed because Rehoboth UMC exists? Is our neighborhood a better place because of what we do and say here? Is our neighborhood a safer place? Is our neighborhood a place in which they know that we exist to share the love of Christ? Our presence should change things because of the one we worship, because of the one who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thanks be to God.